a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim LeCoe.
Jazz win tonight, 128-120. Let's get straight downstairs and hear from Coach Will Hardy.
There in the first quarter, where you were getting good looks and the shots were just falling like you wanted.
Yeah, it was very good. I think a big part of that is that we guarded well in the first quarter, and so it allowed us to play against an unset defense. We got out in transition. We were able to use our pace. It's been a huge emphasis for us since, the trade deadline to try to play faster, and we have been. I think we're coming into today, we're like second in the NBA in transition possessions since the deadline, and so I think our team – we fed off our defense. We did a good job of getting stops, and it allowed us to get out and run. And, yeah, of course, it helps when the shots go in. But then, as we've seen a lot this year, we've been on the other end of some of these games where teams get off to hot starts against you, and 48 minutes is a long time. And the talent level in this league is unbelievable. And when the three ball starts going in, big swings in the score can happen. But, our team maintained composure. When they made that run, the game's tied going into the fourth quarter, and it's like, here we are again, team 49 in another close game, which has been kind of the story of our season. And our guys just buckled down. We tried to talk about some adjustments we wanted to make on the defensive end to try to slow them down a little bit. And we had some guys make some big plays on the offensive end. So obviously getting off to a great start is super helpful, but 48 minutes is a long time, and there's going to be moments where the other team makes a run and you have to adjust.
What have you guys done in terms of, internal player development to get, not only the young guys, but, some of the older guys to places where they are now as opposed to where they were at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I think everybody's understanding our system a little bit better, understanding where their opportunities are. And then, as weird as it may sound, like a night like tonight where Lowry's out and JC and Colin have been out for a bit now, guys are thrust into different roles. And so it's just about taking that opportunity and understanding that, hey, tonight's a different thing and I have to try to accomplish some different things on the court. We try to teach as much as we can through film and doing stuff at practice and on the court. Our assistant coaches and player development group do a great job of coaching guys individually. Like, there's so much coaching that goes on one-on-one in our program, and it happens a lot in the NBA where guys are sitting with an assistant coach. You guys see them pregame, so I'm like watching clips individually. We do a lot of team film as a group, but there's plenty of things that are very specific to one person's experience. So I think that's the hope, right, is that as the year goes on, everybody gets – a little bit better at their role, within the construct of how we're playing. And I think we've seen that. Not every night's a masterpiece for everybody. We know that. But I think everybody understands where their opportunities are. And, it's fun on a night like tonight when some guys are out and guys get to play a bigger role.
Ochai probably could have pulled up with like 45 seconds left from three like he did against Boston, but he puts the ball on the floor and then gets to the free throw line. Is that something you guys teach? Like, is that, or does he just have to know to do that?
To
just like make the read that, hey, maybe trying to get into the paint is a better read for him at that spot.
Yeah, he's, you know, that's an action that we've worked on a lot with him. We ran it a couple times tonight for he and Fontecchio. And he made a great decision. He has that whole side of the floor open. I think on that one, though, we didn't clear the corner, so we didn't run the play right, so I'll yell at somebody later. But I think it was Kelly. But, like, he knows that his read is shoot or drive, but he has to do it quickly. But in the timeout before that, we had preached, you know, we ran that face cut for Ochai out of that timeout. Like, we are in the bonus. And so understanding the bonus on both sides of the ball has been a huge emphasis for us. When you're in the bonus offensively, if you have a rhythm three, like, we're all about it. But if it's close, if it's a coin toss, drive the ball physically because you have an opportunity to get to the free throw line. And Ochai has great physicality, and he made a great decision. I thought it was one of his better drives, too, in terms of, like, going to the body of the defender, not letting them close the space. So he did a great job.
Kelly's miscue notwithstanding.
He was awesome tonight, I know.
So wasn't it such a good, like, glue guy in situations like this where he's doing, like, a little bit of everything all year long?
Yeah. This is – I don't mean this as bad as it sounds. Like, Kelly likes when some guys are out because, like, I mean, you see him. He's, like, throwing the ball to the five and going back and getting it off a handoff. I think in Kelly's heart, he's a point guard. Like, I really think that that's how he thinks of himself as a player, is, like, that he's a facilitator and a distributor and a decision maker. And it's what makes Kelly a unique player. It's what makes him very versatile for us and fun. And at sometimes it's what makes it look a little bit unorthodox. You have this 7-footer, like, throwing the ball and going back and getting it off a handoff like he's a guard. And so, you know, nights like tonight, he's empowered even more to be a playmaker. You know, we always trust Kelly. He's always heavily involved in how we play, but especially tonight when Lowry's out, like, we need him to make a lot of decisions for us, and he did a great job. We try to put him in a lot of spots where he's getting a live catch, and then he's making that initial read. He's a hell of a player. I still, you know, I think he's a little bit unscoutable in some ways. I'm not really sure if Kelly has tendencies. Like, I think he just is kind of playing at times, which is great. Like, he just kind of go, yeah, if you did, like, a, you know, like a MapQuest tracker on the court of, like, where Kelly goes on one possession, it could be literally he could cover more ground than any player on the team. But it's what gives our team an unpredictability. Like, when he starts moving around like that, guys start cutting and moving because they know that he's looking for him, and he made a lot of great decisions tonight. You know, 19, 10, and 8, that's special, especially for a guy that is considered like a 4 or a big. You don't see that a ton.
What did you like about Walker Kessler's game tonight?
I thought Walker was awesome. Sabonis is one of the best bigs in the league. He's incredibly physical. He does such a good job of getting to your body early. I thought Walker did a good job of, like, bracing for that first bump. You know, Sabonis does he's not as long as Walker is, and so he does a really good job and had done a good job the first two games against us of, like, getting to his body early. And so I thought Walker did a good job of, like, bracing for that first bump and then was able to use his length late. 5 blocks again. There's probably 8 more shots in there that he altered to a point where you could almost count them as a block. And just continue to battle on the glass. Like, Sabonis is a handful. It's not just the initial shot. He's great at following his own miss. He's great at wedging you out underneath. Walker's in the back of that zone, and so he has a big responsibility in terms of communicating and has to change sides of the court a lot based on how the offense is aligned. I thought he was outstanding.
And then Dope, you know, did a lot of the little things tonight too, boxing out. How have you guys kind of kept him engaged and focused on some of those other things besides, you know, the big dunks that he gets a lot of attention for?
Yeah, Doak works really hard. He's one of the first people on the court every day with our player development group. And He works on everything from screening angles to playing off the ball for dump offs. Like, he's done a really good job of staying ready. Like, I can't give him enough credit. It's been hard to do, you know, what he's done this year. I've said that about a couple guys on the team, but, you know, he starts the year injured and he didn't quite get the opportunity that maybe he thought he was going to. And he's just kept his head down and really kept working. He does, his physicality stands out. Like, the dunks are amazing, but when he screens people, they like disappear. And he does such a good job on the glass of being physical. He just gives us such a presence underneath. And I thought he did a good job in the zone defensively as well, like being vertical at the rim and making guys finish over him. You know, he deserves a lot of credit for the work. He deserves a lot of credit for how he's taking care of his body. Like, he played 18 minutes, and that's 2 9-minute stretches. And if you haven't been really working on your conditioning, there's no way you can do that. So he's been doing a lot to stay ready. He plays on the off days with our guys, and I'm really happy for him that he was able to really contribute in a big way tonight.
What do you like about the way Chris runs the scheme?
I mean, number one, I like that Chris has a swagger about him. We've discussed the fact that early on when he got here, he would look at me and flex every time he scored, which I thought was actually, like, hilarious. But he just carries himself with, like, a moxie and a swagger that our team feeds off of. Like, it's not just how he runs the team offensively in terms of, like, breaking guys down off the dribble and then finding his teammates. It's the way he guards the ball, the way he picks up the ball handler, his body language. Like, he just carries himself with a confidence and a presence that feeds into the rest of the group. He's brought such a good energy to the locker room since he got here. Obviously, his understanding of how we're playing keeps getting better and better every day. He's understanding the spacings, and, you know, we're able to add in a few more calls each day as he gets more opportunities to get reps at practice. But, you know, the thing that I love about him the most is just his body language and kind of his presence when he's on the floor for us.
What would it mean to you to make the playoffs?
I think it would you'd be proud of this group of guys for sure. We talked at the beginning of the year a little bit about expectations and narratives and not letting anybody dictate who this team's going to be but them. The way that they fight every day, the way that they are committed to trying to help win, the way that they've all sacrificed for the group, you know, for that to happen, I think would just, I'd be so happy for them, because it's not easy to go into a season where everybody's telling you that you're not very good. There's obviously rough patches at points in the season. You lose 4 in a row. You dip a certain number of games below 500, and everybody says, like, oh, there it is, it's over. And that's natural. Like, that's not anybody's fault. That's just the way that it works. And they haven't backed off one bit. They haven't given in ever. I think, you know, again, only having been here as a visitor, like, I don't really know. This was always a hard place to play. It's always very loud. But, like, I just feel like our fans feed off the energy of this team. Like, they like how scrappy and tough and how they never go away in a game. I would just be really proud of the guys, just how they've carried themselves the whole year. It's, again, you know, just another example of not judging people too early, which we've talked a lot about this year.
Earlier this year, you had a good quote where you kind of said, this team's really good when things get weird or chaos.
Yeah.
We couldn't really, it was probably too early in the season to put a finger on why, but now that we're towards the end of the season, we keep seeing close games like this where you guys keep pulling them out at the end. Do you have any better idea of what makes this team able to, like you say, never back down and pull out games like this?
I'm not sure if it's one thing. I do think that we've really tried hard to create an environment where everybody feels like they're a part of the team and everybody could be called upon on any night. You go through pockets where guys are sort of out of the rotation because 15 guys can't play, but we're always looking for opportunities to keep guys engaged, and if there's a good matchup for them, to keep them in. And we've played with a ton of different closing lineups. We have a substitution pattern idea going into every game like anybody does, but we're pretty flexible. And we've talked a lot with our team about being flexible in their thinking. Like, it may not be your night tonight, but that doesn't mean that you're not any good or that you're out of the rotation. It's just we're trying to win tonight's game, and this guy's playing great, and you're not playing great tonight, or this is a better matchup for him. And so I think because of that, like, we're now at a point where almost nothing surprises them. Like, being in, being out, this is the defense we're in, this is the coverage, this is what we're running on offense, we're running plays for this guy. Like, they don't even bat an eye anymore, because that's just kind of how we've tried to operate all year, is that it's a team, and everybody has something to contribute, and we'll try our best to make decisions in a game as a staff as to, like, what we think helps us win that night's game. We've just tried to, like, lean into it, I guess, a little bit. We talk very openly with the team about it, that, like, things are going to get hard. Things are going to be difficult. Lineups are going to change. Things are going to be unexpected. Like, expect the unexpected, or expect the expected, you know, however you want to put it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Sure.
Yeah. I've talked a lot. I got to go.
That you have, Coach. One of the more thorough Coach Hardy post-game media sessions that we've heard. Real quick thought, and then we'll say goodbye to our network stations, Coach.
You know, just, again, the message is always team. This team is undermanned. You know, as he said, not a lot of people gave him a ton of credit, particularly after the trade deadline, but they rallied. They've playing faster, zone, all these little things. But most importantly, they're together, and this is a team, and what you see is a group that's really cohesive, and that was a beautiful basketball game to watch.
All right, the Jazz win tonight, 128-120 over the Kings. With that, we'll say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Wednesday night. Damian Lillard and the Blazers will be in town. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we've got player sound for you. We'll continue to get coaches' thoughts on this when you are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. 128-120 is your final. The Jazz win. They beat the Kings. Kings coming into tonight with the second best record in the Western Conference. The Jazz short Lowry Markkanen, and they come away with a win. 27 points tonight from Ochai Agbaji, a career high. Also a career high, 13 points for Doak. But, man, Ochai was sure good. Made clutch baskets once again.
Yeah, and I think he's been – this has been brewing for 6 weeks. You know, he's starting to get really comfortable out there. And, you know, if you know the game and can watch the way a guy moves and acclimates, like, it's – this has been in the works. I mean, he's prototypical in size, 6'5", 215, but we're starting to see his ability to shoot that the ball at such a high level and now make plays, shot fake, and get to the middle, which early in the season, Coach Hardy said would be the next move. So just a great night for Ochai, and it's so nice to have paydays when you work so hard. We know his track through the G League and, you know, waited his turn, but he's certainly making it pay right now.
8 of 14 tonight, 6 of 10 from 3, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Ochai was just terrific. But the Jazz had 8 players in double figures tonight, Coach. A bunch of players had great nights. I mean, look at Chris Dunn coming in off the bench in 30 minutes. He had a double-double tonight, 18 points, 10 assists. And he also grabbed a couple of rebounds. You heard Coach Hardy in his post-game thoughts sharing a funny anecdote about Chris Dunn when he made shots when he first got here and make shots in practice and look over the coach and flex. Coach Hardy thought it was described it as hilarious. That's really funny. But what a game tonight for Chris. Kelly Olynyk was only 2 assists away from a triple-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. David James watched the game with us up here in the studio, and the three of us were just hoping that Kelly would get every assist and every rebound. We were paying attention because he was close. He was great tonight. Fontecchio had 12 points. Talen Horton Tucker with 10. Doak, as I mentioned, had 13 and 8 rebounds in just 18 minutes coming in off the bench. Rudy Gay with 11 points. And Walker Kessler had 10 points, 8 rebounds. But get this, Coach Combe, 5 block shots. And he had a big-time tough assignment tonight with Sabonis. And, by the way, Sabonis only 11 points on 11 shot attempts tonight. So what a game. What a game from Kessler again.
Yeah, and per StatMuse, this was just put out after the game, players with 10 games with 5 blocks or more in this season, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brooke Lopez, and Walker Kessler. So I would say that the young rookie is in pretty good company right there. And we saw, again, I think we talked about how good Sacramento is from everywhere. The zone really did shock them, and they weren't able to get to the middle. But even when they did or get to the rim, they were 10 for 19 around the rim. You know, saw Sabonis get shots blocked, and you forget until you don't have one for a bit what a great rim protector does. We've certainly had one around here for a long time, and Walker looks to be an elite one, you know, a guy that really, really understands it.
You mentioned StatMuse. They had another stat that they put out kind of in that same vein, Coach. Rookies with 10-plus games with 5 blocks since 1990. You ready for this list? There's 6 names on it.
Okay.
Including a former Cook, Mr. Sean Bradley.
Oh, of course.
Of course. But here are the other names on it since 1990. Rookies with 10-plus 5-block games. David Robinson, Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning, Shaq, Tim Duncan, and Sean Bradley.
Is that good?
Pretty good. He's the first to do it since Tim Duncan. So,
pretty awesome. And again, we talked about it in the beginning of the year. These young guys are going to have all this opportunity, and man, you just look back at the valuable games. Like tonight, they closed it down. THT struggled a little bit tonight, and Coach went with Chris Dunn. And Chris Dunn goes 10 assists in 31 minutes, not one turnover.
Wow.
Zero.
How about that? All right, let's get back downstairs and hear from Ochai Obagi.
It's going to be a regular thing to come out here.
Hey, that's all I'm trying to make.
We asked you the other night, I think Andy might have asked you the other night, if you'd have taken that shot. And you, like a month ago or at the beginning of the season, you were like, no, not a chance.
Same situation here.
Same situation?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I know that you said, like, confidence is what's, like, getting you to that point. But, like, what is it that's giving you confidence?
Just reps every day. Knowing the shots that I'm going to get going into the game. Watching all the film. That's really just it. Just being ready for those shots that I'm going to get. And, you know, while I'm... You know, working out, we have our pre-practice shooting times, just taking those shots and just focusing on that. So.
Will said before the game that you could have came in and looked at them like they were crazy, having you go to the G League. It's like, hey, I'm Final Four Player of the Year type thing. Mm-hmm. Why did you accept all those roles so easily?
It's really cliche, but just everyone has their own race. I kind of saw that as my own race, starting there. You know, my expectations were a little bit different coming in, but starting there, I had to be fine with it, had to go with it, and had to, you know, give it my all and have a positive attitude while I was doing it. So that's just kind of how I went about that and you know, how about this whole entire season.
You guys come into this game with no Lowry, no JC, no Colin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that most people probably don't expect you guys to be competitive in.
Mm-hmm.
what allowed you guys to get to as well as you did?
Just sticking to the game plan, I think, just really playing our game, knowing we got to get a good shot every single time down, or a good possession every single time down. That's really just it, and, you know, finding each other, playing with each other and playing off each other and just having confidence in each other, too.
You have family in town tonight?
Just my mom, yeah.
Your mom's here?
Mm-hmm.
What's it like having a career-high night in front of mom?
Oh, really special. I know it's a really special night for her to see that. You know, she came, I want to say she came to the games over Halloween weekend. So I was playing then, too, or I played a little bit then, too. So she got to see that. And then, obviously, later in the season, she came here and saw my career high. So it's a really special night for her, too.
Was this the first game she's come back since?
Yeah, since then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have her come back more.
Yeah, yeah. I know. For sure.
What's your... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead,
you're good.
What's your development over the course of this year? What has that meant to you?
A whole lot. Just staying consistent with my shot is the biggest thing, and just staying consistent and having that confidence in it, knowing that I put the work in and continuing that work to stay on top of my shot. So that's how I see it.
40 seconds left. You caught the ball in kind of a broken play, and you could have pulled up from three like you did against Boston. Instead, you drove it. What were you reading on that? That, you know, because you're not really a prolific free throw shooter historically. You don't get a lot of free throws.
Mm-hmm. It was a really physical game. I mean, obviously, they were getting the whistle there late, you know, fourth quarter, and the end of fourth quarter throughout then. But really just getting to the basket, you know, I was telling the other guys, get to the basket, draw contact, because, you know, they're calling it kind of close. So that was just the read, and just taking it strong and physical.
Coach Hardy talked about a little bit earlier how this team has an environment where anybody can kind of get called on, that their number can get called in any given game. Being in kind of that environment, how has that positively influenced your own development, knowing that you can have a shot at any time?
Yeah, it just, you know, like I was saying, just comes with staying patient, being ready. You know, when you're being found by teammates and you're hot or whatever, just keeping that going, knowing that they're going to find you, finding the hot hand, and keep feeding to the guy who's working, but also, you know, just playing together. Whoever shoots it is the right shot. That's how we see it. So, you know, when you're taking those shots, doing all that stuff, it's nice to know that your teammates have your back in that too.
The Kings were a pretty prolific offensive team. In the second and third quarter, they found their rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys get them out of it in the fourth?
Really just going back to what we were doing in the first half. I mean, obviously, they were hitting some shots out of that zone. It's kind of tough sometimes, but, you know, we're going to have to watch film and work on that. But really just keying in on, you know, getting a stop. Rebounding was another thing, too, and just playing smart, you know, with the fouls and all that, too.
Thank you, guys.
There is Ochai Agbaji, and career night for him. Led the team with 27 points on 8 of 14 shooting and did it in front of mom. How about that? His mom visiting to see the game. Pretty darn cool. Jazz win 128-120 over the Kings. Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique store to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll get Coach Combs' thoughts on what we just heard coming up next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Take note, Jazz fans.
Wow! Outcome is in the books. Now, let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz win 128-120 over the Sacramento Kings. Jazz postgame. Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share. MarkMillerSubaru.com. We'll get you more player sound coming up. But, Coach, we just heard from Ochai Agbaji and had a career night tonight, career high, and did it with his mom in town. How about that? What a cool story.
It is awesome, you know, have his mom here on this night. I was just looking up, just curious. Royce O'Neal's career high. Any take any stab at that?
Ooh, it wasn't 27, I don't think.
It was not 27.
Let's go 23.
20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's a nice little checkpoint. A rookie certainly came up through a a little bit different, you know, being a lottery pick. And he had, as he said, expectations for how the first part of the season was going to go. But I do believe his attitude, receiving the coaching, taking the route they, you know, that the Jazz management felt was best for him. And certainly that trust has paid off because he's playing great. Last two games, he's shot and scored. But again, defensively, we've seen this coming for a long time. He's a prototypical piece in the NBA anymore, and Jazz look to have really got him a good player.
He guards.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, and he's a terrific athlete. And I like the fact that he has confidence to take shots down the stretch in key positions. It, you know, no fear, as the old T-shirts used to say. It doesn't seem like he has any.
He ain't scared.
No, he is not.
As the old bumper stickers used to say.
Not at all. And was great. 8 of 14, 6 of 10 from 3, 27 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. Let's get to tonight's Master of the Glass, presented by Safe Light Auto Glass. Proud to present this year's Master of the Glass rebound program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team. Rebound later. Tonight's Master of the Glass. Let's see here. Kelly Olynyk. 10 rebounds tonight in 30 minutes to go along with 18 points and 8 assists. Pert near a triple-double for Kelly Olynyk tonight. But the Jazz on the glass out-rebounded Sacramento 48-43. Offensive rebounds were not in abundance tonight. The Jazz had 6. The Kings had 8 total. But Walker Kessler had 8 boards. Doak had 8 boards coming off the bench as well.
Kelly, as Will said, he's really a throwback guy, a big player. Has such great hands. He's so fundamental, but at the same time, he's unorthodox. You know, he's got the ability to go out and do things that a guard does. Bring it up sometimes. We've seen drives to the basket, but I think everything he does well was on display tonight. And most importantly, win. There's a big part of expecting to win, and he certainly came through a program that we just said has gone to 8 straight Sweet 16s. So the expectation for him everywhere he is to win, and I think he really helps that cause with his play and his contribution to culture.
All right, we talked a little bit about Doak. He also had a career night tonight. Let's throw it down to the locker room and hear from Udoka Azubuike.
Coach talked about that next man mentality. How did you guys go about just establishing that trust within each other to get a win like this?
My team, everybody over here, like you said, they have that next man up mentality. And over here, we don't depend on one person alone. Like, we do it as a team. So, we know that we didn't have Larry today, so we know that we have to play together, and compete. We have to bring forth a little bit more energy. Coach kind of told us that. So everybody kind of stepped their game up. My teammate, everybody kind of did their job. So,
How did you know, how far in advance, I guess, did you know that you were going to be getting time tonight? Or was it a surprise when it came?
I know to the practice today and walk through today. I kind of like walk through with the second group unit. But, it's not really like a for sure thing. And for me, it's just, I just got to stay ready and prepared. I just get my mind that, when I get called up, I can go ahead and do my job. So, yeah.
Career high 13 points, I want to say. What made you as successful as you were tonight? I mean, you're getting free in the lane for dunks. You're grabbing a lot of rebounds. You're having quite a night.
It's just me going out there, giving the opportunity. And that's a big thing, too. Me just being out there and giving the opportunity, it kind of makes me, when I had my first bucket, kind of losing me up a little bit. And, as the game goes by, we playing defense with my teammates, I kind of just, kind of the energy to do more. So, yeah.
Do you feel like when you go out there, you have something to prove? Obviously, it's been a difficult season not getting to play as much as you would like, I'm sure. I guess what enables you to kind of just go out there and play that well, given those circumstances?
Just the grind, man. This is my third year in the league. I just kind of understand that, this kind of my job. I can't control what I can't control. Like you said, like playing time, not playing. can't control that. You know, for me, all I can control is my work ethic. I know what, how much I put in the gym, you know. When nobody's watching, I know what my work ethic and what I bring to the table. And I feel like that work kind of makes me, like, when I go out there, you know, just the work that I put in, you know, just kind of show for itself. So, yeah.
There's Doak. How about it? Got to feel good for that guy. 13 points tonight, 8 rebounds in 18 minutes play. He had a steal, a block, and an assist. He had a great dunk, put-back dunk for Doak. And, you know, it's his third year in the league, like he was talking about there, Coach. You know, he was a big man when he came in with, you know, raw ability needed to be developed. And then, of course, set back with injuries. And this year playing time has been a tad bit inconsistent. But I got to tell you, I'm rooting for the guy. I think it's great to – he can step in and get an opportunity and perform. And athletically, he is big and he is athletic. And if he can put it together, he absolutely, I believe, can be an NBA rotational player. He's got some work to do.
And stringing some games together, given the opportunities. And so tonight he gets an opportunity and does a really good job. So developing some consistency. But I'm with you. You know, it hasn't necessarily gone exactly to script. Nothing really ever does. But he's gone through injury and uncertainty, but he's hung with it. He was ready when his number was called. That thought was talked about with Coach Hardy. I think that's been a staple of this team, and that's something, man, every single coach in the world would die for. That just the ability, hey, we've got guys that will go when their number's called.
Time for the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. The Jazz from the line tonight were 20 of 23, 87%. The Kings were 19 of 25, 76%. The Jazz were led by Ochai, who went to the line 5 times, made all 5 of his foul shots. Jazz win 128-120 over the Kings. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. More sound for the players coming up straight ahead. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Running up, blocked it. The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz win 128-120. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MarkMillerSubaru.com. No Lowry Markkanen tonight. Coach Lacombe, no problem. Eight Jazz players are in double figures tonight, and they shoot 52%. You predicted, we talked about Arby's, and by the way, the Jazz got to Arby's. Enjoy your free sandwich in the Jazz app. I kind of wondered, who was going to score? Are they going to get to Arby's? Everybody scored. They got to Arby's no problem tonight.
And, you know, they did it the way the Jazz do it. They played really good defense. Tonight they got out in transition. I thought that was a little nugget that was interesting. Coach said after the trade deadline, that's something they wanted to kind of commit to is pick up tempo. They definitely found points out there tonight. Let me see what they ended up a plus. There were 1.6 points per possession in transition. So just an absolute clinic out there, and they've got good players. They've got bigs that run. So, you know, it lends itself to wanting to get out and go.
All right. Speaking of the clinic, let's throw it back downstairs. It's time to hear from Kelly Olynyk and his near triple-double tonight.
Coach Hardy said that sometimes you like when guys are out because you can almost control more things. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have, you know, more responsibilities on your plate. So, and I enjoy it because, you know, I enjoy playing basketball. That's what I love to do. So, you know, when that happens, you know, someone's got to step up and, well, that's a challenge I willingly accept.
What part of tonight's game impressed you the most?
I would say our resilience. I mean, you know, obviously in that Boston game, you know, we went down, came back. It was almost a reverse script. And I mean, you know, we jumped out on them and they came back and went up, what, 3 or 4 maybe there for a bit. And, you know, we stuck with it, kept making plays. You know, Chris Dunn made some huge plays down the stretch, some great reads, great passes. You know, Ochai as well.
You know, walk's always big for us. You know, it was huge. And so just, you know, staying resilient, staying with it, and, you know, being able to, you know, hold off that surge from them and, you know, close out the game and win.
You guys know that, you know, that team's been the number one offense in the league. You guys, again, throw the zone at them. What do you think worked well defensively for a large part of this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of catching by surprise. You know, we were really active in the zone at the start. You know, kind of threw them out of their rhythm, you know, offensively. I mean, they're really good. I mean, they still scored 120 points. They're a good offensive team. So, but, yeah, just throw them out of the rhythm, you know, throwing them a look that they're not used to, that they have to kind of think about and not just kind of, you know, go through the motions and do what they've done for 72 games or whatever it is.
We asked Lowry this last game. Coach said that you and him were the ones biggest advocates for going to the zone against Boston. Mm-hmm. What about that zone do you think is you guys are good at or makes you guys good on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got, you know, some young guys, but we got size and we got some length, especially when it's me, Lowry, and Walker in there. And, you know, that's tough in the zone. I mean, that plays to your advantages. And then we can rebound out of it. But, you know, I think for us as a, you know, a younger team with some guys, some newer guys who are trying to come together and play together, I think, you know, one thing zone does is, you know, it makes you have to communicate with each other. You know, and you got to kind of ramp up the intensity and, you know, play. You got to scramble and play hard. And I think when we're doing that, you know, we're better. So I think that kind of jump starts us a little bit in the zone, and we kind of carry it through.
Talked about Ochai a lot this year. I mean, he wasn't playing at all at the beginning, and now is this, right? Like, what part of that has been most impressive to you?
Yeah, I mean, he's just continued to get better and better and better, and his confidence has just continued to grow and grow and grow. And he's made big, huge shots the last two games, like massive shots. So, you know, it's just, it's fun to watch him, man. Fun to watch him grow and play and, you know, step into a role and, you know, evolve into that role and, you know, just continue to get better and on both ends of the floor. I mean, offensively, he's playing really, really well. But I think his defense is kind of being overshadowed because defensively he's been really good, too, for us. You know, guarding guys, moving his feet, staying in front. So, you know, for us, you know, he's a big part of it. And, you know, he will be, you know, for this team going forward.
No Lowry, no Colin, no JC. Like, what makes this team so special that you're able to pull these type of wins out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got a, you know, a deep group. We got a lot of guys who can play. You know, it's fun to see. It's fun to watch. I mean, Doak came off the bench tonight, you know, hasn't played in 70 games this year or whatever it is. I don't know. And was huge, you know, made great plays. Was active, you know, on both ends of the floor, you know, gave us a huge lift, you know, definitely, you know, kind of trying to stall them out a little bit and stall out their run, and, you know, kind of turn the water off a little bit. He was huge for us, and, you know, just going down the line. And then, you know, obviously Juan coming in, making plays, Rudy was good, Johnny, Chris Dunn played amazing tonight and finished out that game, you know, like I said before. So, you know, just got a lot of guys who can play and like to play, and, you know, some young guys who are hungry to play and play hard and play together. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, identity of this team right now and something that we need to do to be successful.
And I'm thinking, like, Walker, have you played with a rookie where you kind of feel confident putting him one-on-one against like Sabonis, right?
Honestly,
like,
no, not at all.
Can hang?
Not really at all, which is crazy. I mean, obviously I played with Bam Adebayo, who was pretty good. But even as a rookie, they didn't. I mean, he was a lot better as a sophomore. I mean, Walk has just, you know, taken, you know, gone through the roof with his ability, and he's gone so much better. I mean, even in training camp, like, I don't think you would have trusted him, you know, with that matchup, or, you know, even a couple months ago. And now it's like, you know, don't even help. I mean, you know, he's got it. So, I mean, you know, he's been huge for us, and he, you know, he shores up a lot of our mistakes, a lot of, you know, you know, defensively for what, you know, like I said, our mistakes, and that just makes plays. So it's been huge for us to have him back there and down there, and, you know, guarding one on one, help side, rebounding the ball on both ends of the floor. You know, and even if he's not blocking shots, he's deterring and altering, which is half the battle sometimes. So, yeah, to start two rookies and three, I guess we started tonight, right? Holy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, that's pretty good.
There you go. That is Kelly Olynyk. What a night tonight for him. 18 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. As you know, you could tell he enjoyed the freedom to do a little bit more. As Will Hardy said in his postgame, Kelly kind of thinks he's a point guard sometimes. Played like one tonight.
Point Kelly. Right? Yeah. No, and it's such a luxury to have. I think that one of the last plays, really the dagger shot that the Jazz put on tonight on the Kings was that nice possession where the ball just swings around. Everybody's given help to drives, trying to put out fires, and Kelly's just spaced the floor and waiting patiently. This ball skipped, and he buries it. You know, it's just beautiful basketball. It's, you know, it's that extra pass you see so often with this team. But Kelly, the recipient, a 7-footer out on the perimeter who's guys got to help, and it's just an advantage every single time.
Let's keep this player sound rolling. Let's get back downstairs and now hear from Walker Kessler.
This season, but he was incredibly effective tonight. What did you see out of him?
Oh my gosh! I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's such a physical presence. Has great hands. You know, being able to do what he did, and like in that area of the paint, I think he's like one of the best players. Like, you can't stop him. I've been off record. I've been dunked on quite a few times by him. But, you know, he's an unbelievable player, so super happy to see him, you know, do well.
How is he such a different player from you? Like, in what ways?
You know, I think we're just obviously, like, he's a lot bigger than me, obviously. So being able to muscle guys like he does, you know. But at the end of the day, I think that what he provides that I don't provide, or not that I necessarily don't provide, but he does, you know, it's just his presence and being able to finish around the rim and just dunk like he does. You know, like I said, he's hard to stop once he gets in that little area.
How did you approach the matchup with DeMontis tonight? Like, you know, how were you able to stand up to the physicality when earlier in the season, like, somebody try to bump you and they would be successful in that?
You know, growing a little bit. You know, I think that with DeMontis, I mean, he's an unbelievable player, obviously. But understanding there's a lot of timing that gets involved with, you know, physicality. Like, when he meets my chest, I got to meet him so I don't just get, you know, knocked back. But being able to translate, you know, going forward into going up and contesting those shots, you know, and he's obviously a dominant left-hand player, so trying to, as much as I can, force him to use his right hand. And so, you know, tonight worked for us. But, yeah, no, I mean, props to him. He's an unbelievable player. You know, I remember in high school watching him. He's a tough matchup, super tough matchup.
You're getting a bit of a reputation for clutch blocks. Take us through that sequence there.
You know, I think that I don't really think about it too much during the play. You know, a lot of teams want to attack, you know, inside at, like, the last moments just because, you know, try and draw a foul. So, you know, I happen to be there. You know, I like my chances to block the shot. So, yeah, you know, got a block, and then right after that, he dunked on me. So, you know, sometimes it, you know, doesn't go in your favor. But, you know, just depends.
Will there ever be a Mark Eaton triple-double for him? Points, blocks, rebounds?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. You know, but not that I think so. I know so. I don't know if it happened this year. But I've gotten a couple. I think I've gotten, like, one or two games with eight. Seven? Seven's my most.
I think.
I haven't gotten eight. I could have sworn I got eight one game.
I think the game there, you got seven. They shorted you one.
Really? It happens. But, yeah, no, I think I'll get there.
You think that you're – this is going to sound really weird. Do you think that you're good?
Do I think I'm good at basketball? I'm just tall. No, you know, I put a lot of work into it. You know, I think I'm a pretty capable player, obviously. But, you know, I think that obviously I have a lot to improve on. But past the basketball, I think that something that I have that's, you know, I take pride in, just I want to win. More than anything. I don't know if it's a want to win or just a hate to lose. Whether it's ping pong, Super Smash Brothers, Mario, I mean, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I don't like guys scoring in my paint, and I don't like losing games. So.
You've told us several times about being able to, about your ability to block shots with either hand. Are you ambidextrous off the court, or is that, like, purely kind of a basketball?
Yeah, you know, whenever shots? I No, I'm not. I try to come up with something. But, you know, I mean, like right-handed people. Okay, are you right-handed?
Yeah.
So when you eat steak, what do you? Which hand's the fork? Which hand's the knife?
See, I'm cutting it with the right.
I cut with the left. So I'll put my thing on cut. So you can put that in there. Walker's ambidextrous. And honestly, my handwriting is so bad that it probably looks the same with my left hand, so I guess I can say that as well. But no, I wouldn't say. It's an awkward question because there's definitely times where like I've tried to do things with my left hand just to see. Like I went through a phase where like I was like, all right, I'm going to brush my teeth, just my left hand. And like by the end of it, like my gums are bleeding and everywhere I'm saying. But
so that's a no.
That's though. A no. I'm not naturally ambidextrous. You know, I think I just a lot of guys are right-handed, so having that left foot up and having that left hand up and being able to block shots, because a lot of times, you know, say it's going, it's the basket, he's going the right side, you know, he's reaching here. If I'm contesting it, it's hard to reach across body instead of just going on my left hand. So I think naturally it just kind of happens. Yeah, that's all I got. You don't want any more?
I guess the real question now is when you're.
All right, there you go. That is Walker Kessler. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 5 block shots tonight for the Jazz rookie. The Jazz win over the Kings 128-120. Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Wrapping things up. Coming up next, you're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my! Skip pass, Olynyk, right side three. Pow! 121-118, the exact play they worked on in shoot around today. 130 to play. Bounce pass inside Sabonis. He's struggling on Kessler. He turns. Kessler blocks it. Kessler grabs it out of the air. Walker Kessler has stymied the All-Star.
That is our buddy David Locke, and that is your play of the game brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com. Driven by you. Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz win. They beat the Kings 128-120. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Ways campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Man, what a game from Walker Kessler. A guy just continues to improve. I mean, game-saving blocks. Won the game with a block shot against the Celtics on Saturday night. Had another huge block again tonight. He actually had two important free throws tonight. Made one of two. Considering he missed them both against Boston, that's an improvement. And he just continues to impress, Coach.
It is so hard to win games, and it's equally that much more difficult when you're missing guys, you know, instrumental guys. So it did take a team effort tonight. I thought the crowd was fantastic in here. You know, I think everybody is absolutely loving the way this team fights, and they are, man, it was a great environment. You know, David used the word stymied, which I'm a big fan of. Love the word stymied. But Sabonis was 4-for-11 from the field and only went to the line 4 times.
That's amazing.
So he was stymied.
He was. That's an all-star. Sabonis having a career year. One of the best players in the league. Not tonight. If you're just joining us, Jazz had 8 players in double figures tonight, led by Ochai Obaji, who had 27. It's a career high for him. 8 of 14 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. They got 18 points apiece from Kelly Olynyk and Chris Dunn coming in off the bench. Both those players also had double-doubles. Olynyk, 18 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. Chris Dunn off the bench in 30 minutes. 18 points, 10 assists for him, and 0 turnovers, by the way. Throwing that in there for Dunn. Doak had a career-high 13 points off the bench. He grabbed 8 boards as well in 18 minutes. Simone Fontecchio got the start tonight in place of Lauri Markkanen. He had 12. Rudy Gay had 11 coming in off the bench. Walker Kessler, we mentioned, with 10, 8, and 5. And Talen Horton-Tucker had 10 points, 6 boards, and 4 assists. For Sacramento, they were led by De'Aaron Fox, who had 37 points on 14 of 21 shooting. He had 7 assists and 4 boards. They got 22 points tonight from Keegan Murray, who's a good young player, 22 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 6 of 14 from 3. Harrison Barnes with 16. Malik Monk had 15 coming in off the bench, and you mentioned it, Coach. Sabonis with only 11 points tonight, 12 boards, did have 9 assists, but only took 11 shots, 4 of 11 from the field. Real quick on De'Aaron Fox, curious for your thoughts. Man, has he taken a huge step this year. All-star, and I thought he was great tonight. He, in the losing effort, he had a really good performance.
Every time I've seen him this year, you know, obviously the Jazz games, but seeing him also in other, you know, just being at home and flipping the channels, he's great. I mean, he's really, the switch has gone on for him. We talk about that often. Guys get into the league, they get acclimated. In his case, you know, a little bit of a down year, but as you know, no semblance of down year this year. And as Mike said in the pregame, it's just so good in the clutch. So for the Jazz to hold them off in a close game again, just add that to the crazy things about tonight.
I honestly thought he was going to win it for him tonight. I mean, he was that good.
But, you know, he is really good. Like when the Jazz went man, he knows exactly what to do. But that zone, it just makes you have to operate in a different type of territory. All the credit in the world to the Jazz for executing that tonight.
But Doak has a breakout game for the Jazz. We were talking to Jamil about that off the air. We're waiting for that Doak breakout game. Got a good one tonight.
He got it for you, Jamil.
Yeah, he did. He did it for Jamil. And then, of course, Ochai with the career night in front of his mom, nonetheless. Special performance of the Jazz, beat the least coming into the game, the team with the second-best record in the Western Conference, without their best player, really without their top three players.
I'm just so excited to see how this is all, you know, going to go. 11 games left, so they have 4 games a week, three weeks straight, and it'll be decided. So these two games... Full disclosure, trying to just be honest and authentic, I did not have the Jazz winning these two games in my mind on the drive up.
Great wins. Yep, so I'm totally with you.
It's a credit to everybody involved. It's fun. We talked about the importance of a winning culture. But, man, players, you know, how about the dunks tonight? Chris Dunn, THT had a sweet one. You know, it's just a fun basketball.
Doak with his putback.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Good stuff. Want to say a big thanks to everybody who helped with the broadcast tonight. Of course, Locke and Boone. Fine work from those two, as usual. Thanks to Mike Smith, who jumped on with us in the pregame. Thank you to our broadcast assistants tonight. Thanks to Jamil Hawkins, executive producer of Jazz Broadcast. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the postgame show. The My Subaru Is campaign, real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. And as always, thank you, Coach Lacombe. A pleasure.
Team 49.
With another W.
Another dub.
How about that? Beat the Kings tonight, 128-120. Up next, the Jazz take on the Blazers at Vivint Arena coming up on Wednesday night. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage begins at 6. You have been listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.